Good morning. We read from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Did what I just read make sense to you? Could it really be that God told Isaiah and the Israelites that he would reason with them? In fact, aren't we taught here at Emmanuel that we need to be really careful about how we use our reason when talking about God? So often the focus is more on what we think rather than what God says. In light of that thought, does God really mean it when he says here, "Come, let us reason together"? Well, of course God means what he says. And when you take a closer look at the contents of this verse, it's pretty clear that a godly understanding of reason is a very good thing. The way in which God words his invitation is pretty interesting. He doesn't just lay down a command. He could have if he wanted to. Instead, he lovingly seeks to meet us on our level. He wants to lead us to the correct understanding of what he's going to tell us. And so he implores us to reason or to discuss the matter. The thing about reason is that it demands evidence. It needs to have something that makes sense. It needs to be reasonable. Well, what is God trying to reason with us about? What is he seeking to prove? He says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. God desires to help us understand his plan of salvation for us. He wants us to know that he has saved us, and he wants us to know why. And when we look at God's plan of salvation as outlined in the Bible, we see that it certainly does make sense. We know that we are spiritually dead in our sins. We have stained ourselves, and we cannot cleanse ourselves in God's eyes. This describes our great need. We need someone to help us. Now, if God left us there, there would not be much reason to his plan. It wouldn't make any sense. In order for God's plan of salvation to be reasonable, there needs to be a solution to the problem. And that's where Christ comes in. He has washed us with his blood. He has taken away those stains. He has made us white as snow. He clothes us with his righteous robes in place of our sin-filled garments. And now, as a result of all of that, we are claimed before God as holy. This is God's salvation plan, which is summarized in the small contents of this verse, and it makes sense. It is reasonable. But one may ask, if this really is so reasonable, if it really does make sense, then why do so many people reject it? If God's plan is right and makes sense, then why does Paul say that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing? If it makes so much sense, then why doesn't everyone believe it? These are questions that we struggle with in this world. But what we often overlook is that the very answer to these questions is found in this verse. God's message is clear, and God's work is clear. It's all about law and gospel. It's all about sin and grace. It's all about sinners and a Savior. Like we said before, the only time we run into problems with the clarity of this message is when we insert our own reason into it. The only time that this message gets distorted is when we try to be greater than God. God has intended our reason to be a gift, the ability to think, to discuss things, to logically understand things is a gift. But just like any other gift from God, we need to use it appropriately, and it's not there to take the place of God. And furthermore, it's not that God's word is unreasonable. God himself even says so in our verse. The only problem is that So often people don't like the way that God answers their questions. Instead of believing His word without question, especially when it's dealing with the miraculous, like forgiving our sins, well, people don't think that really makes a lot of sense. In place of humble trust in God alone as our Lord and Savior, the attitude of self-pride grows. And the difference remains the same. It ultimately comes down to the contents of this verse. Scarlet and snow, crimson and wool, sinners and a Savior. We can sit here and confidently believe that God's salvation plan for each and every one of us is reasonable. We can believe that it does make sense because we see it through faith. Through faith we see that we are hardened sinners from birth, that we have done nothing and can do nothing to help ourselves. But through faith we also see that God gives us the solution. That Christ has suffered and died for each and every one of those sins in our place. And that His perfection is given to us through faith. The unbelieving world continues to reject this message as foolishness because they see it with their eyes. Because they look at it with their reason. They continue to turn to their logic and their understanding, and they ignore the clarity that faith gives. Paul testified to the same about in his letter to the Corinthians. He said, "It is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." He also wrote, "We see now in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known." And he finally summarized all of this by saying, "We walk by faith, not by sight." Sometimes we might be tempted to doubt when God comes to us in our lives and asks us, "Come, let us reason together." We might wonder, can God exist in such an evil world? We might despair, did God really come and save me from every single sin that I have committed? We might doubt, does God really care about me? Does He really love me? Well, it's for these very times, and it's for these very questions that God gives us a verse like this. God gives us this passage, one that focuses on sin and grace. One that focuses on you as a sinner and God as a Savior. And through that message, God, and through the Spirit, works that faith in your heart to accept that message. He works the faith in your heart that shows you that that message is reasonable, that it does make sense. Because when we look at our lives and we look at what God has done for us, the only way to salvation is what Isaiah talks about here. Christ taking away our sin and making us white as snow. Like a young child, God leads us along in His love and says, "Come, let us reason about this. Let's discuss this. Let me show you how I have saved you from your sins." This is our journey by faith in Christ, not by our own sight. This verse from the first chapter of Isaiah serves as kind of a springboard into the rest of the book. It's almost as if God is saying, "Listen to me. In this book, I will show you your salvation. I will show you how it all works." And if you look at what Isaiah goes on to write, we see God's design and God's work. It's Isaiah who prophesies of the coming birth of God's eternal Son. It's Isaiah who reassures of the return of the remnant to Jerusalem. It's Isaiah who describes how our filthy rags are turned into Christ's righteous robes. It's Isaiah who assures you that God has called you by name. It's Isaiah who describes the beauty of the gospel upon the mountaintops. It's Isaiah who prophesies of the blind seeing and the mute singing. And it's Isaiah who portrays the suffering servant. the one who bears our grief and carries our sorrows, the one who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities and led to the slaughter for our salvation. Thanks be to God for giving us the clarity and understanding of this message through faith. We close with hymn 759.